everyone. My name is Tash. I'm going to be reading the Bible for us this morning. The first reading is from Psalm 84. It's printed in your service sheets. It'll come up on the screen. Or a third option is our lovely Bibles. There's one at the end of your row, probably, or more up the back, which I'm sure if you stick your hand up, Kate or someone will bring you one if you'd like. The full passage there. So Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And then the second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 1 and go to verse 17. There wasn't room for all of that on the service sheet, but it'll be on the screen, so again, in your Bibles. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. My name's Ben. I'm the pastor here. It's great to see you, especially if you're visiting. And we've got a number of visitors here, welcome, and a number of returning friends. The Truren family are with us, back from Northwest Australia. Great to have you guys. Laura Zdanovich is here, along with other members of the Zdanovich clan. Welcome, and others too. Great to have you with us. I want to say thanks to Tash for reading and Tim for praying. Thanks, Kate, for leading us on a crazy morning for your family and for your kids' spot, which we're going to continue in that theme, thinking about joy. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to look at that Psalm, Psalm 84. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're a God who has revealed yourself to us, that you haven't remained silent, that you are a speaking God. We've heard your words read, and we pray now as we reflect on these words in Psalm 84 that you would be enlightening our minds and opening and softening and warming our hearts with these wonderful truths of who you are and how blessed it is to be people who can know you and enjoy your presence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder where your happy place is, a place where you feel most alive, most yourself, a place where you feel safe, secure, and at peace. For some, it might be the beach, or maybe it's just a favorite chair, or a favorite cafe, or a holiday home. Or maybe your happy place is not really a place, but a person. The author of Psalm 84 is describing their happy place. They're basically saying, there's no place I'd rather be. Which reminded me of the 2014 hit song by Clean Bandit. The lyrics say, we're 1,000 miles from comfort. I should say, my daughter is ashamed that I'm even referencing this song, which she thinks is very sad. We're 1,000 miles from comfort. We have traveled land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. For Clean Bandit, their happy place is a relationship. As long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be. And that's actually very close to what Psalm 84 is saying. The place to be is the presence of God. As long as God is with me, well, there's no place I'd rather be. This morning, we are concluding our mini-series on prayer. For the coming year as a church, we want to have a particular focus on prayer, on growing as a prayerful people. And so over these three Vision Sundays, and this is the third, as well as looking at our hopes and plans for the coming years, we've had three short talks on prayer. And we've considered three answers to the question, why pray? Firstly, because it's essential. For those who are here, please complete this sentence. Unless the Lord builds the house. Wow, that was weak. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Yes, all our plans, all our efforts will come to nothing unless God is working. And so we must pray, beseeching the Lord to bless our efforts for his glory. Secondly, why pray? Because it's powerful. As we thought last week, God in his incredible wisdom has chosen to work in the world in answer to the prayers of his people. The Apostle James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Our prayers change things. Our prayers cause things to happen. It is an incredible privilege and we're mad to neglect it. Thirdly, why pray? Because it's joyful. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. It's joyful. So far, the last 2 weeks, we've really been thinking about prayer mainly as asking God for things. But first and foremost, prayer is about relationship. Relationship with God. As Tim Keller says, Christians pray not primarily to get things from God, but to get God himself. God is the greatest reward of prayer. Psalm 84 tells us the best place to be, that the truly happy place is in the presence of God. And prayer is the way that we can dwell there. Verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It's really evocative, isn't it? The psalmist expresses a deep longing for God. His soul yearns, his body aches with longing. He's desperate. He's saying, Lord, you're the one that I need. Nothing else will satisfy. I wonder, do you know that longing for God? Maybe you've known it in the past, but not so much recently. A.W. Tozer has a great prayer for those of us who find this longing for God is weak. He says, he prays, I am ashamed of my lack of desire, O God. I want to want you. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty. Is that a prayer you could pray? Lord, I want to want you. I recognize that longing, that wanting is weak, but I want to have it. I want to want you. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty. I wonder if you've ever felt jealous of birds. Because that's kind of what the psalmist confesses in verse 3. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Even birds, they're blessed. They're ever praising you. It's the place to be, the house of God, the place of blessing and praise. David says a similar thing in Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Don't you love that phrase? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Again, is that your heart? Is that your one desire? If only I could dwell in the house of the Lord. If only I could spend my days gazing on his beauty. For David, for the sons of Korah who wrote Psalm 84, their longing for God it's centered on the temple, isn't it? The physical house of the Lord. For us as Christian people, our longing is focused on the person of Jesus, the one who came and tabernacled among us, revealing the glory of God. And so in Philippians 3, we find Paul saying something very similar to these Psalms. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Everything else is rubbish compared to the priceless treasure, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Friends, that is what we need. It's what our church needs, that kind of longing to know Jesus, that kind of treasuring of him. We need that more than being people of great Bible knowledge or ministry skill. We need to be people who go often and spend time in the secret place, communing with the Lord, people practicing the presence of God throughout the day, people who are, as Jesus put it, abiding in the vine, remaining in him, rooted in his love, resting in his grace. Then and only then will we be people who bear fruits for his glory. Then we will bring God's blessing to the world around us. Verse 5. Psalm 84, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, a place of dryness and difficulty, well, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. If we want to be people who endure to the end, if we want to be people who bring life to the people around us, as we pass through this broken world, people who are life-giving, refreshing, well, then we must be people who draw strength from the Lord. Jesus says in John 15, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he goes on to say, all this talk of remaining in him is so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So why pray? Because it's joyful. It's the place to be. Back to Psalm 84, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I wonder if you believe that. I wonder if I believe that. Think of your best 1,000 days, you know, roughly 3 years. Maybe it's your time at uni. Maybe it's a period when you were living overseas. Maybe it's a chunk of your childhood or a time when you were in a really happy relationship. Now, would you trade those 3 years for one day lived in the presence of God? Because it seems like the psalmist says you should. He's at least saying, well, you should make that trade if those 3 years were lived apart from God. He's saying a day with God in a slum is better than 1,000 days without God in a palace. Better to be a lowly doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And of course, the amazing gift of God's grace is that we're not just invited to be doorkeepers, but sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the living God. We're invited into the most holy place, into the presence of God himself, given a seat at the table, a place at the feast. Friends, if you're in relationship with God, if you find yourself sitting here this morning and the Spirit testifies with your spirit, yes, I'm a son of God, a daughter of God, you are privileged beyond compare. If you're trusting in the Lord, then whatever your external circumstances, whatever candles of trouble might be in your life, you are blessed and highly favored. You are rich. I love this image based on Jesus' parable of the merchant who finds a pearl of such beauty and value that he sells everything to get it. The pearl represents the kingdom of God, relationship with God, being friends with Jesus. And this is the merchant at the end of the story. He sold his house, he sold his possessions, he's even sold his clothes. You know, he's there in nothing but his undies, but he's jumping for joy because he's got the pearl. He's got the Lord. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Everything else, rubbish, garbage, compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. St. Augustine famously prayed, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Why pray? Because you and I were made for relationship with God. Because we will never find true rest and satisfaction without him. Why pray? Because it's the place to be. It's the place of safety and blessing and joy. Let me lead us in prayer now. Our Father, how incredible that we get to utter those words. And how we thank you for the Lord Jesus who made a way for us to be in relationship with you, to be adopted as your children, to have access to your very presence, to be able to approach your throne with confidence. We long for the day when our faith will will turn to sight, when we'll see you face to face. And Father, we do confess this morning, for many of us, we're ashamed at our lack of desire. We want to want you. We long to be filled with longing, and we thirst to be made thirsty for you. Would you make us a people who seek you and are satisfied in you? Please make us a prayerful people. Make us people who delight to spend time in the secret place, communing with our God, gazing on your beauty, meditating on your love. Make us a people who are truly abiding in the vine, remaining in Jesus, knowing the completeness of our joy, and so bearing fruit for your glory, bringing blessing to a needy and broken world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.